Hey everyone, and welcome to Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Reggie.
And I'm Corey.
And today...
What?
Today we have a special guest with us to discuss our favorite book series.
Book series.
Not books.
Not just books.
We done did that one already.
She already done hers.
Can I just comment that I actually had written down the order we were supposed to say our names at the beginning and still did it wrong?
I was wondering what was happening there.
I was too busy pointing like Usain Bolt. I gotta get hyped for the episodes.
Well, who's the stranger next to me?
Me, Corey, your husband?
Yes.
You might remember me. I think I was in a different episode once, talking about a different subject that I do not recall at this time.
You are.
Now, what rank does your Star Trek shirt denote?
Ooh, that's four pins, so that would be captain. Ooh, yeah, other side.
It's a Picard. It's a Captain Picard shirt.
Okay.
I put this on special for the episode.
So, Captain Corey.
Captain Corey.
Yes.
When we go boating, that sounds... super bougie, but when we do our annual 4th of July pontoon trip where we rent a pontoon because none of us own one
from this Corey, marina in Tennessee,
Corey is always our captain. So he is Captain Corey.
I steward us safely across the waters.
That's right,
like a starship.
Exactly. See, the ship. That's why I do it. Ship. It's as close as I'll ever get.
He was training his future captain as well.
Our child.
Yeah.
Oh, our spooky shrimp. Yeah.
Spooky shrimp.
He also drove the boat. He did a good job.
He did.
Well.
Family.
Before we dive right into our favorite book series, what have you guys been nerding out on?
Well, this week I have been playing a bunch of Pokemon Heart Gold. Just trying to get in the mood and play something Pokemon that's not Sword and Shield. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I've just kind of done everything.
You've played them to death.
Yeah, I've played it to death, and so now I needed something new. I looked online, and they're like $50 to $70 to buy a Heart Gold or Soul Silver.
Really?
And I was just happened to be mentioning that I wanted to play it. And my kid was like, "Oh, I have that." I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of Pokemon games for the 3DS." I was like, what?" And so he showed me, and yeah, he had Heart Gold.
He need some extra money?
$50 or $70? No, because I'm playing it, and so I started playing it. And also, when we play Pokemon games, we tend to watch whatever series is related to it. And so, put on some Johto episodes, which all of that is on Amazon Prime right now.
Yes.
So that was exciting to find.
Pokemon Johto!
Johto! Although I'm in the end of the season, so the theme is completely different. Like, I didn't even know what it was when it started playing it, because apparently I've never seen these episodes.
Does it get more epic?
It was a little bit slower.
I feel like they went from epic and Indigo League to, like, party.
Yeah, like, Pokemon, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like, carnival sounds and stuff.
You know, I'm a sports movie fan, so I like the epic driving music at the beginning.
Nothing will ever beat the original.
The first one, yeah, no.
I wanna be the very best. Dun, dun, dun.
It's like the theme song of my life.
It is the theme song of my life, how'd you know? So Pokemon, and then the new Psychonauts. I don't know if you guys ever played that back on the Xbox, the first one, but it was a lot of fun.
I looked at that, and it sounds fun.
The second one came out. It's on Xbox Game Pass, so I started playing it the day it came out. It's a lot of fun. It's reminiscent of like a Banjo and Kazooie style game or Ratchet and Clank, where you have like your big world and then you go through doors to the other places to do the stuff, but you're like inside of a mine.
Yeah, so it's like Inside Out. Kind of where it's like, especially like the abstract thinking and stuff. I saw pictures of it, like it's super colorful and wild. I like the idea of it because
you're in a bad guy. You're in the villain's brain trying to figure out who hired him.
Okay.
And so you're inside of his brain, and he's an evil dentist, and so everything has like teeth, and it's very like creepy with that. But then like the collectibles that you have are like random thoughts, and they're just like literally look like little doodles that are made out of chalk, and you collect them, and then that's how you like level up. Is once you collect X amount, then that's 1 point. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then there's little bags and tags, and they're emotional baggage. And they're literally like little purses and duffel bags that are crying, and you have to find the tag and then you can pick up the luggage because mm-hmm. they go together, and then
you reunite them.
Yeah, you reunite them. Yep. It's super cute, and it's I've really been enjoying it. I'm gonna take it a little slow on this one though, and try to savor it instead of just speeding through like I normally do with games.
I kind of want to try it out because I want to see like if they're like super accurate neuroscience or if it's just fun.
Oh, it might just be fun. There was a disclaimer at the beginning of the game that was like, if you have depression, you know, this game depicts. Mm-hmm. This, and this, and
then they might have actually like based it on actual neuroscience.
That might be
super fun. So I'll have to check it out.
Well, and then the only other big thing that I can announce and say is that we have mentioned having a foster kid, and mm-hmm. the adoption was completed.
Yay!
So he's no longer our foster child. He is in fact our son.
That is amazing.
We call him our little spooky shrimp.
Came about this morning.
And then I can post pictures of him on my social media accounts now. So, and there's actually some up already of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him so much. And yeah.
we love him too.
Yay, yeah. Yes.
He's a good kid. We're very lucky to have him. A lot of people always want to tell him how lucky he is, but it's us who lucked out. So.
Aww.
Very good at driving boats.
He's good at driving boats. But that's been my week.
Very
nothing,
nice.
Nothing too exciting.
Nothing too exciting. You have a son.
You just had a baby. It's
fine. I had a baby and I bounced about. Whoa, oh, no. That's why I look like this. Because I just had a baby. And he was a teenager when we birthed him, so.
What about you, Tom?
Well, a lot of y'all know I coach, and cross country season has begun, and so I've been doing a lot of stuff with that. Been doing a lot of work on my coaching this whole summer, which has been kind of fun to because I feel like the pandemic made coaching really stale on me because we didn't get to do it because mm-hmm. you know we had to all be in our homes. But I've been learning how to hurdle, like jump over hurdles,
yes.
and have. Only two giant bruises from it so far and a major ankle sprain. But it's been super fun. I wish I had found it earlier because having a racing brain, being able to just go somewhere and focus on jumping over something over and over again has been extremely helpful, and being hurt and not being able to do it hasn't been fun.
Aww.
Your ankle looks like a...
A balloon?
Yeah, like a water balloon.
Yeah, well, and also I'm on those blood thinners because I had that pulmonary embolism, and so it's double bruised. But just, you know, learning the physics of athletics is like why I enjoy coaching, so learning a whole new area I hadn't really learned before has really helped me on other areas, and I really like movement. It's
movement.
You can ask Reggie about me doing track drills down the hallway in our office.
Just sometimes.
Hey, it gets me hyped to make a call.
I tried drills once in my life. I was very lucky because now that you have this injury, I saw you doing them. I'm like, I want to do them again. And then you got that injury, and I'm like, I don't think I want to do that anymore.
Mm-mm. Well, it's also because our hurdles aren't very good for drills. They're, mm-hmm. they're not good training hurdles. They're good competition hurdles. And so like the bar was really big mm-hmm. that's on the ground. So I stepped on that with like full force and just rolled my whole ankle.
Ugh.
But enough about, track because I don't think we have many track fans listening to this podcast. We got a couple of new Metroid Dread trailers
mm-hmm.
since we recorded this episodes and one. And first of all, they all kind of seem conflicting. It's apparently going to be a sequel to Fusion,
mm-hmm.
which is super awesome. Obviously,
that was the Game Boy Advance one.
That was
right?
the Game Boy Advance one that I can play over and over and over and over again and speedrun and just it's always fun. It's got a really if you've ever seen the movie The Thing, it's got a similar plot to that, and it's always I just love the storytelling in it, even though it was a very short game.
Now, what movie did you say was that? The Thang?
The Thang.
Was it The Thang?
I ain't afraid of being Southern.
Just Pete.
But then they also released another one that, or another trailer that had, like, the main bad guy Samus is fighting. And if you know anything about the series, she gets her armor from the Chozo.
The Chozo.
which are like bird people.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sees a giant like bird person with her style armor and gun that's like double her size. And it didn't seem, it was weird because the newest trailer didn't seem to have a connection to the other trailer. And they have kind of not, the last two trailers haven't even mentioned that whole thing that they were talking about earlier with those robots that chased you.
Maybe it's going to be a multifaceted game.
It seems like it's going to be a very multifaceted game, but my hope is the whole thing is the ex-parasite is hopefully going to be the main bad guy. I think that the ex-parasite has found that they were probably just researching the technology that led to Samus at wherever she is, and the ex-parasite got in there and got a hold of that technology and made it like organic the way it was in the actual Metroid Fusion game. But sorry, very deep dive on that for anyone who doesn't like Metroid, but I haven't really
been...
Why are
you listening if you don't like Metroid, or at least video games?
Yeah,
exactly.
I haven't really been able to enjoy many Switch games because I think I'm just building up anticipation for that in mind. But last but not least, I am preparing for Diamond and Pearl to come out.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait! November 19th.
So I...
What are you getting?
I don't know which one.
I don't know if I'm getting it.
That was y'all's first Pokemon game together, right?
Yeah. When Corey and I were in college, it was my... I guess it was still my freshman year. 06, 07, maybe?
That sounds right.
Yeah, it had to have been maybe...
You got Diamond, I got 07. Pearl.
Yep, I got Diamond.
This time we're doing Pearl. Reverse.
I will be playing Pearl. He'll be playing Diamond. I think Ethan is also going to be getting Diamond. Our spooky shrimp.
Which legendary do you like better from that era?
I like Dialga, the one from Diamond.
Diamond.
Better. Yeah, see, and I like Palkia because I had Pearl. Nice. But for some strange reason, it's like Red and Blue or Diamond and Pearl, Reggie always ends up playing the first one and I always end up playing the second one. Like, he got Sword, I got Shield. I can't think of all the various iterations, but I think it's almost like an absolute consistent. He got Heart Gold, I got Soul Silver.
Mm-hmm. Ruby.
I had Soul Silver.
Yeah. Well, we got Every Ruby time. And Sapphire like that because my birthstone is Ruby and his birthstone is Sapphire.
No matter what the situation is, though, each time, and that is cute, but it always follows that same metric for some strange reason.
I'm adorable.
Some of us don't get Pokemon games named after our birthstone, so...
Well, some of us are just more important, I guess.
Soul Amber.
That sounds like a stripper.
The
maybe?
Pea color game.
It was like, mine is Garnet. So,
Garnet is a Ruby and Sapphire mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, it's Steven Universe. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
But yeah, basically just been preparing for that game to come out. I want to have some Pokemon in Pokemon Home that I can send. Reggie gave me a shiny Eevee that is an Espeon now that I've wanted to start from the beginning and not use in my Sword game.
I might give him another shiny Eevee. I've got a bunch of them in my box from hatching eggs for my battle team.
Uh-huh.
So, Jane, if you do get it and want something special, I got some shinies. I also gave Tom my list of shinies and was like, but I have to look at them and make sure none of them are Corey's. Because I was like, you can have whatever you want as long as it doesn't belong to Corey.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your consideration.
But very excited for that game to come out just because I got back into Pokemon on the Switch after a long time without it. And so it's fun to have a second game to play because I am sad and missing the storyline of Sword and Shield. And I don't want to restart my game.
You also got Sword and Shield way after we all had it.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to like play it when it came out with the rest of us. But now we'll have a whole squad to play it with.
Yeah, so it'll be fun.
Do you know about like the secret bases and all of that extra stuff?
The best nope. part.
I'll be figuring it out.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's the best part.
Yeah. And the mining for the stuff.
Yeah, because that was like the first one for the 3DS when it came out, so it really mm-hmm. utilized that bottom touch screen.
Oh, so you can like
so
mine.
There was a whole bunch of stuff like when you were in the secret bases, you literally had to use your stylus to break the rock up and then mine, and you got fossils and shards and stuff like that.
Awesome.
I'm so excited, Thomas. I'm so excited.
I'm excited just looking at the Pokédex you sent me.
Well, that's the Pokédex according to Serebii. That's where I always get all my information from, is Serebii.org.com. Mm-hmm. Dot something. Also, it's close to Celebii, which is my favorite.
Yes.
What else did you do, Thomas? Anything else? Oh, didn't you watch something spooky recently?
Oh, what did I watch? Oh, yeah, we watched Candyman last night.
Oh.
And that movie was wild.
The new one out yet?
We watched the original.
Did Allie like it?
She loved it.
I told her it was so good.
It was, I don't know how, as a horror fan, I never found that. But also, did you know that that guy got had a clause in his contract that he got paid $1,000 per sting?
Per bee sting. And he ended up, like, in one day of shooting, got, like, 36 stings in just one day.
Wow.
I think he walked away with, like, 80-something...
He made tons of money off that. Yeah, like almost $100,000 off of bee stings. Didn't you
say they do that by like putting the queen in like a plastic pouch and just like...
So they encapsulate the queen bee in like a... And it has to be like almost like a mesh material, but it's like a mesh cube, so it's structured. And then you put it in your mouth, and then that makes the rest of the hive like go in your mouth and on your face and stuff like that, but it won't sting you because you have the queen in, you know what I mean? So it's like that you become its...
Mm-hmm.
It was like Mythbusters or one of those science shows that they used to do, how it's made or something like that, that showed how they do that. Or maybe it was like a Fangora magazine article. I can't remember how I learned about it.
I'm just really glad I saw that.
It's terrifying.
Movie because Tony Todd...
Candyman.
I feel like he's been super typecast as either like a general or a bad soldier or like a warlord in every movie I've seen him. And it just like added so much depth to what I see him as an actor, because I mean the man put bees in his mouth for his acting career. And I feel
also
like
also that terrifying janitor in the original Final Destination movie who tells them about death.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, that's him too.
Of course it was.
But plays spooky good.
Liked it a lot and looking forward to seeing
the Jordan Peele one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've read some concerning things from critics so far, but critics are critics. And I usually end up liking movies critiquing. Mm-hmm. And critics are jerks when it comes to horror.
They really are.
They really do. I don't understand why horror movies are always like, oh, well, this blah, blah, blah was only lackluster. And then I'm watching it, they're like biting my fingers. Uh-huh. Like, oh my God, I'm so scared.
I feel like critics ignore that, like, camp is a thing. Like, they do. We want fun.
Those are my favorite types of movies, are like funny, scary movies. Mm-hmm. Not like Tucker and Dale.
Uh-huh.
The humorous scary ones.
Evil Dead.
Feast. Oh my gosh, have you guys ever seen Feast?
Oh, so I remember good. If I have or not.
It's like it is like the definition of a campy scary movie. Mm-hmm. It takes place in like Texas or something like that, and then in the beginning of it, like all of the characters are introduced, and it's like, you know, the person is in a bar and he takes a shot, and then it does like that comic book pose scene, and then it's like the hero most likely to survive the entire movie, and then the hot chick comes in and she's got huge boobs
of
and
course.
Then she's blah blah blah, and it's like, you know, the heroine, she may be hot but she can kick ass and mm-hmm. blah blah blah, and then every single one of them die within the first 15 minutes of the movie. And then it's a whole completely different cast that's just like the random background people that actually ended up surviving. I will say there is a scene in the first movie that really bothered me, so I whenever we watch that movie I just close my eyes mm-hmm. at that part, but the rest of it is super super funny.
There's also a staggering amount of fake blood used in the movie. Oh. I mean it's just showering down. It's fantastic,
but we're all gearing up towards Halloween.
We were actually discussing giving y'all like 12 straight Halloween episodes.
We're going to do the 31 days of Halloween. You know, much like
a ABC new episode
Family
every day.
Every day.
90 minutes.
But we're also going to replay all of our previous episodes leading to the new one every single day. And the only way to unlock the new one is to listen through all of them. So
I'm
enjoy
lost.
That. It's like on,
it's on ABC,
ABC Family.
Yeah.
Like, they'll show Nightmare Before Christmas, and then the next day they'll show Monster House, but they'll show the Nightmare Before Christmas before they show Monster House. And then on the third day, it's the Addams Family movie. And so then it's Nightmare Before Christmas, Monster House, Addams Family.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't wait to watch the Addams Family!
It's like singing 12 Days of Christmas.
Monster House, Corpse Bride has some major
Coraline fall feelings
for me.
They're staples, you know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, staple Christmas movies, Charlie Brown, Thanksgiving, Santa Claus Comes to Town, blah, blah, blah. October has staple movies for us.
Oh, of course.
It's Addams Family, Trick or Treat.
Thanksgiving.
Well, that's Thanksgiving time. I think
of all the holidays that I came to appreciate last year, it was definitely Halloween. Like, Christmas, I was just like, can Christmas just not happen this year? I'd be fine without it. I know Corey loves Christmas. I'm sorry.
No,
I
love Christmas but even too. It's yeah. Last year was also like we did it for Ethan. You know, did it up and did all the stuff. But it was, you know, weird with just not being able to
go anywhere
and see
online
people
shopping,
and
family.
I didn't feel Christmassy sometimes.
I love Thanksgiving because of food, but I could eat food anytime.
Oh yeah, every day.
And Halloween, I want to dress as a Power Ranger for the entire month of October. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
You can do it.
I am concerned with everything that's going on that by the time Halloween gets here, there's going to be some kind of, like, restrictions put in place. But that's just my own fear. I'm encouraging everybody to go ahead and plan on a Halloween costume that incorporates a mask.
Just and also
so
get,
that way we can still have Halloween.
Get vaccinated.
That too. I mean, I'm very fortunate that my friend group and my social group are all very...
I would say... The kind of party we had last year would be significantly less dangerous this year.
Mm-hmm.
I want y'all to host your Halloween party because I want to hear your stories that you didn't get to do last year.
Well, we always do like a big food bar, some kind of make your own and then insert is what we normally do. Like, we've done a cupcake bar. We've done the Rice Krispie bar where we made Rice Krispie treats and then we had the stuff to decorate.
Ooh, y'all made Fruity Pebbles Krispie treats this year.
Oh, that's the right way to make
that's what we do.
Treats.
That's how we make our Rice Krispie treats is with Fruity Pebbles. This year I'm thinking maybe like do the nacho bar where you cover the entire table with paper, like newspaper. And then you just pour bags and bags of nachos on the table and then put all the toppings on it. And then literally your entire table is just the plate.
That'd be cool, but paper on the table makes me think seafood.
It does make me think DC, but... Oh, okay, well, our... Robot Maid is...
Mega Maid is the...
Rosie.
We actually named him Mo from Wally, the little cleaning robot from Wally. Anyway, Thomas, we got sidetracked. You were still finishing up your week. You enjoyed Candyman.
Yeah, it was very good. But, no, I'm super excited for Halloween.
Spooky.
That was a good train of thought to get off on.
What did we say that we were going to call it when we go off on...
The whistle? The train whistle?
Train of thought.
Oh, we needed to get the train whistle. That's what it was, because the train of thought...
Reggie, edit and editing. I'm like, every time I do a video, I'm like, Reggie, cut that. Reggie, do this.
All right, well, was that your week?
That was a long week, yes.
Was a long week.
Do we want Corey's week?
Oh, I guess.
Yeah,
Corey,
you want to add anything, Corey?
This week?
Ooh, well, because we are married and share a house, several of the things are the same. Like, I also got the adoption finished, so that's a group effort thing.
It was a two-person deal this time.
Yeah, of course not. A pretty big highlight of the week that nobody probably noticed is I have never successfully put my hair into a bun with a singular pen before and secured it, but I just did that, so that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, the week's been rough because I had work starting back up, so.
My bald spot is in, like, the perfect place to make putting my hair in a ponytail impossible. So I was like growing my hair out for months and months and months, and it was just like still not going into a ponytail.
We finally got back to event season, and so last night we had, well, I shouldn't say last night, Friday night we had volleyball, and literally all day Saturday it was a 12-hour day for me, so we finally got back to doing volleyball games.
Which, I don't know if anybody out there likes sports. I know Thomas does. I don't know anybody else out there. most watching sports is kind of a boring activity for me. I do not enjoy watching it. There are two exceptions for me. I can sit on my couch and watch hockey on television.
Yes.
I love hockey. Volleyball in person is the most bomb sport to watch. And
so
an ASU, App State University, mm-hmm. Mountaineers, not my school, did not go there. I'm going to still support it because that's where we live. The girls volleyball team is bomb. Mm-hmm. Like they, App's volleyball team is known for being really good. So Ethan and I, our little spooky shrimp, and I had to help Corey because he just didn't have enough people to work in the stands because he does, you know, concession. I'm taking over your story. This is my podcast, not yours. I'm talking. No, I'm
just kidding. Well, thankfully, Reggie Ballin told Ethan that they were coming to help as I basically was just beating around the bush, begging for Reggie to volunteer to come help me, which he did. So,
Reggie told me that you had a volleyball tournament this weekend, and forgetting that you manage the venue where volleyball tournaments happen, I thought you yourself were playing in a volleyball tournament. Yeah. I was like, why have I never heard this about Corey?
That sounds a lot more fun.
Corey's
actually a
world-renowned volleyball player. I forgot to mention that to you guys.
And I just imagine Corey in, like, bike shorts, like, hitting a ball.
Was it beach volleyball?
That's what I'm envisioning, too. What I was going to say with the volleyball game is, like, go out and support your local volleyball team, because mm-hmm. I promise you there's not enough people out there watching him, and those players are killing it, and it's entertaining to watch. To the point where even our little spooky shrimp, he left us in the stands to work by ourselves because he went to go watch it because it was so entertaining. and spooky shrimp don't really like sports that much. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. We were not looking forward to having to work it, but it always is fun.
Yes.
We also have tournaments the next two weekends mirroring what we just did. So
volleyball?
Yep.
Oh, Friday and Saturday. Here's your chance. If you guys we should go and watch one game. Ooh. Just one game.
Ooh, maybe.
There are six games across 2 days, so there's plenty of opportunities. It's four teams that play each other in a tournament style.
Let's get media passes and, like, set up, like, a total nerdless table with, like, microphones and be like, oh!
I might be able to arrange that.
I'm not... You're laughing and joking about it, but I think we should do that. That'd be good.
I'm down.
ESPN 8 of the Ocho style, like...
ESPN 70. You know, with the little, like, the...
Snevendi. What was that from?
It's from Gravity Falls. The year was, like, 20 Snevendi-9 or something like that. And it was, like, the 7 had the squiggle above it.
We're not getting into it, but you just reminded me that another thing I did this week was watch all the other Futuramas that I haven't seen, basically.
You had never seen some of them?
So I've watched, like, the original run probably, like...
A million times.
10 times through, whereas I've seen the later episodes maybe like once and didn't pay attention to
them. Are you talking about past the movies?
Past the movies. I started at the movies. I actually started at Bender's Game because I had seen Beast with a Billion Backs and the other one before that.
Bender's Game is one of my favorite of all of the movies. I love all the Futurama movies. I like Futurama a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I do too. Bender's Game is my favorite.
But I was surprised at how good and topical and not cliche the new run was. It just seemed like all their jokes were just great and not, they weren't just like rehashing old stuff.
Well, they were, and they also like updated it because, you know, it started in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And so, and then the new stuff didn't happen until like what, 2014?
Yeah, 2017, mid-2010s.
Something like that. And so they updated their jokes, too, so that, you know, as to where it was 90s jokes, and then it evolved into present-day stuff. It's just top-notch comedy. I of course, still wish it was going on forever and ever and ever. I wish we were still getting new episodes.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those shows that should be like Doctor Who, where it stops and then comes back and stops and comes back and stops and comes back.
Yeah, well, I mean, it still could. That's how TV is now, because they don't listen to me. But
oh man, a lot has happened since we last recorded, like Bad Batch ending. Can you?
We still can't talk about it. Still
nope,
Thomas, are not there
yet. Speaking of Bad Batch,
well, that's what we also have been doing this week is trying to get through the remainder of Clone Wars. I was watching.
Are you ready to be gutted?
Oh, we're still on. What is the last season number? 7?
4. episodes left in season 6.
Yeah, 4 episodes left in season 6, and very excited to finish them, but also very nervous.
The Jar Jar...
Jar Jar Mace Windu team up double feature
with Jar Jar's girlfriend, the queen of the bird people.
I would watch that spinoff.
Oh yeah, I would watch that spinoff too.
I would watch that too. I was frustrated that Mace Windu did not get more Mace Windu time.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that when we get into my list.
Oh, okay.
So we can talk about Mace Windu a lot.
Well, before we start on our list, Shane.
Yes.
Do we ever let Corey finish his week?
Oh, I don't know. Are you done?
Woo!
Yeah, that's my week. I mean, that wraps it up.
He's
pretty
done.
Hard.
He's tired.
No, I'm just kidding. Since you said Jar Jar, I do have to point out that there were somebody drew this other alternative Darth Jar Jar interpretation, and I think it is a very interesting.
I think Marvel should give us a Jar Jar Sith Lord dream arc.
Do we ever know what happens to Jar Jar after the Clone Wars? Do we ever know what happens to a lot of those people?
Well, at one point he expressed that he would be turned into goo, so I think that might have been...
I thought they kind of died. But I don't know Star Wars.
Shane.
It's also hard because whenever the acquisitions happen, some canon change to not canon anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to know what is and is not.
Well, also,
like, isn't Jar Jar going to show up in The Mandalorian at some point?
I don't think that's possible.
I think Jar Jar would have led a resistance because that was his personality. He wasn't going to just let the Empire walk all over things. And also, people hate on Jar Jar, but, like, that hatred actually, like, drove the actor into a severe depression. And it's like, it's okay to dislike a character, but, like, that guy was
not
doing
the actor,
his best.
Yeah.
We dislike Jar Jar because Jar Jar was the person who ultimately allowed Palpatine to get in power. It was
people
Jar Jar.
Disliked Jar Jar before that.
I was never. I didn't hate him as much in the original movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. But my dislike of Jar Jar comes from the fact that it was his fault.
I mean,
he was kind of manipulated, and it wasn't all his fault. But it was his fault.
Well, one thing about Bad Batch that isn't a spoiler. People have kind of criticized it, but really it's because they used the Bad Batch as kind of cameramen for that period after Order 66. And so there wasn't much character development there, but yeah.
Isn't there another season coming, though?
Yes, and I'm excited. It seems like it's the clones of the main characters, but we have spent too much time of our book episode talking about cartoons, and this is actually Shane's episode to host. So, Shane, would you like to get us started on these book series?
Or tell us about your week?
Yeah, I'll talk about my week first.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Thomas and Thomas the Tate Train.
Thomas monopolized the conversation, McDonough.
So, I have actually done a lot this week. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, I got all my TV shows back, including some newer TV shows that I am watching from HBO Max, and one of those shows...
do you have it now?
Yes, I have it, and I am current on Titans, watching that every Thursday.
One question, are you going to watch the Mortal Kombat movie so we can finally talk about it on this podcast?
It's on the list. It's on the list.
Suicide Squad.
I've already watched it.
Ooh, nice.
Yes.
Did you love it?
I did. I liked it a lot.
So you're watching the original Teen Titans, or are you watching DC Titans?
I'm watching DC Titans. I'm in season 3.
Because
that's my show. It's my jam. And
who
I like
in
it.
Love with?
Nightwing.
Who's not in love with Nightwing? I thought you were going to say Dove, though.
I do love me some Dove, too. Oh,
is that
there's...
her real hair?
I don't know. Because, I mean, first season, it was a wig.
To have been a wig. Because that wig line was terrible.
Yes. It looks much better to the point where I can't tell. I still want to say no, because I think I've looked up the actress before, and she doesn't have Dove hair.
She looks like a real life Elsa.
She really does. She's beautiful and wonderful. I do love her voice. but yes, she is great, and there's a rough episode for Dove. It took me by surprise. Season 3, episode 3, it's shocking.
We're not there yet.
Mm-hmm. No, you need to get there because it's good. Though, however, one thing I will say about my beloved Titans shows, it really needs to decide what it wants to be. If it wants to be a Batman show or a Titans show, because season 3 is set in Gotham.
And I know that Red Hood is a big part of what season 3 is. And Scarecrow, apparently.
Nope, but Scarecrow is in it as well.
Does Robin become more likable?
I can't say anything without spoilers, so...
Oh, spoilers.
At the end of season 2, I liked Robin. I kind of liked him when he came in, because he had the whole Damian Wayne vibe going on.
Okay.
So I've been...
But is he Damian Wayne?
No.
Damian Wayne is not in this?
No, he's... Oh, goodness. I think... Because we're getting new Robin this season as well, because we have the Red Hood.
Did you see the bit about in the comics with Harley Quinn being Robin for a little while with Batman?
No, I haven't. I'm not current on my comics. But Titans is good, and you guys need to get there.
I know, we're terrible.
I also have picked back up on Young Justice because I watched the first two seasons on TV, and now there's a season 3 and an upcoming season 4, which I'm uber excited about. I love it. One of the things that was really great is they did a whole little parody on Teen Titans Go, except it was Doom Patrol Go, and it was Beast Boy experiencing this fantasy, but it used all of the Teen Titans Go actors to voice the Doom Patrol Go characters.
And is it the Doom Patrol from the show Doom Patrol, or is it the comics Doom Patrol?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know enough about Doom Patrol, but I loved the little parody because the voice actors aren't the same in Young Justice. Beast Boy might be, but someone else is definitely voicing Cyborg. And of course, Nightwing is not voiced by the same guy who does Robin on Teen Titans Go, but I loved that little parody. It was great. It was funny.
Oh, I really want to see that. Yeah. You said it's on HBO?
It is. Right, HBO cool. Max. Yes, because...
Just that one episode.
Weren't you talking about a Power Rangers episode of Teen Titans Go, too?
There is a Power Rangers Turbo parody where they get turned into cars and...
I've seen that one.
It's absolutely a Turbo parody. Mm-hmm. There's no mistaking it. And the music is even Power Rangers. it's really funny. Have you watched the What Ifs on
Yes, Disney Plus? I am current on those as well.
What did you think of your S.H.I.E.L.D. dude?
Coulson?
Yeah, Coulson.
Oh, I mean, I like that he was there. That's not my favorite episode. Episode 2 is with if T'Challa was Star-Lord.
Is Shane going to get a Fitzsimmons What If?
Probably
not. But that they did kind of like confirm that dude might be in love with Captain America.
Yes. Oh, he always has.
But, like, actually in love him.
What did I say? He belongs with May, so.
He likes him, but he's not in like with him.
No, he's totally in like with him.
Yes, he's in like with him, hardcore. Even on the show, it's a thing. It's something they joked about in the early seasons. But no, What If is good, too. Yeah, like I said, I'm proud of myself for keeping up on all my current TV, though I'm currently one episode behind. I haven't watched the latest episode of Star Trek Lower Decks. Another show that I love. So watch the first three. I haven't watched the fourth one yet.
Decks. Okay, so the second one where it was the Jalad his arms wide.
Yes.
And I was literally almost in tears laughing so hard. That has probably been the best episode of Lower Decks that they've done. Plus all the fan service that's in that episode.
Oh my God,
I mean, like every other sentence that was mentioned was some kind of callback to something Star Trek. Which even if you watch it and don't know it, it's still hilarious.
It is.
But for us super fans, it was...
Yeah, Lower Decks is great.
Yeah, Lower Decks is so great. I really want to rewatch
that. I only didn't watch this latest episode yet, which, you know, I might see if I could fit in sometime today. But I have Walking Dead and Legends of Tomorrow today. But I also have Monday with no shows. So, but that being said, I got American Horror Story back last week. It was a 2-hour premiere, so I recorded it, watched it Friday. And it is so good. Like, it's already good. So good.
I haven't got the chance to watch it yet. I'll be watching that one solo.
So good.
I'm excited. I really want to watch it. Especially because it's going to be something about sirens, right? Aliens and sirens?
Vampires.
Vampires?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought it said it was going to be something about sirens because it was at the ocean.
I mean, it's at the ocean, but I'm pretty sure it's aliens and vampires.
Oh.
Actually, I know it's vampires because I've seen the first 2 episodes now.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was a 2-hour premiere, so it was technically the first 2 episodes, but since it was from 10 to like 12:30 after midnight, my roommate and I recorded them and we watched them Friday. That was wonderful. The cast is better balanced than it's ever been before because Evan Peters and Sarah Paulson are not the stars. It's Lily Rabe and Finn Wittig, which are two of my favorite actors that I often think get overlooked.
Nice. Well, that's exciting.
Yes.
Lily Rabe, why do I know that name?
Possess Nun from season 2.
Okay. Oh, I love Lily Rabe.
Yes.
She's so cute.
Mm-hmm. And also on my list, so I finished my August book early, which means I started my September book of the month, which is all the Goosebumps I can read. I've already read one. I'm halfway through another. And I'm starting with most of the Slappies first, because Slappy was my favorite.
I found a Goosebumps Horrorland DS game in my games.
Oh, DS game?
Yeah.
Nice!
Once I take a break from Pokemon, I was going to pop it in and see what it's like. I remember getting it. I don't remember ever playing it.
It might be your first time.
It was $2.99.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those, like, oh, it's Goosebumps Horrorland, I'm going to pick that up. And then I don't think I ever played it. I put it in my bag, and then I forgot I had it.
It's, you know, I started with, because last year at some point I read the first Slappy book, so this year I started with numbers, The Return of the Living Dummy, mm-hmm. and now I've moved on to number three now.
Is three Bride of Slappy?
Nope, three is the one where he, like, he's in the attic with all the other dummies that he's bought, or kind of bought to life, I think.
Okay.
And he's actually slapping the kids. The thing I love about the third one, he is slapping the kids. It's great.
Do you remember the show at all? Did you ever see the Bride of Slappy episode?
I did, yeah.
That's Anakin.
Is it?
That's Hayden Christensen.
I did not realize that.
He's coming back.
He is coming back for Obi-Wan. Sorry.
Oh, Goosebumps. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing with my book of the month. I am also, within my own writing, I chose the novel that I want to submit to agents. I did a final edit of that novel, and by the time this comes out, I will have started submissions to said agents that I have found.
So. Is this a novel that introduces... Is it the novel that introduces Thomas and I?
Yeah, I was going to ask if it was the one about me.
It is not, just because that is a series, and it's a first-time author. I mean, series in general are kind of hard to pitch, so I, in essence, need to prove that I can sell. And so it's kind of a standalone novel, but of course it's in my own little writing universe that I call the Slimverse.
Is it the one you use the word sultry for?
No, that's still the same series as before. This is the one you guys are in. This one you guys get named
after. We're main characters in one of his series. No, we're not.
Y'all are main characters in my Metroid fanfiction that I wrote.
You guys are main characters in some fanfics I write, but I'm not allowed to talk about it because it's inappropriate.
Your erotic fanfiction.
Yeah, erotic fanfiction.
Maybe.
But rounding out my week, I'll move through this very quickly. I played some Mario Golf because for the month of August, I could unlock three different color Yoshis by scoring so high in the online thing, and I did that.
And
so
you got all those Yoshi toys.
Yes. Oh yeah, and I collected all the little Yoshi Mario Kart things.
All the colors. Look at those Instagram people.
Yes, yeah. And I've also decided in Animal Crossing, I know it's September, but I'm already getting my island for Halloween. Getting it ready for Halloween. I've just decided that's what I'm gonna do because that's what I wanna do.
I need to get back on that game.
Yeah. Well, in real life I am going to be acquiring a bunch of high-quality Halloween decorations.
Yes.
Similar to the skeletons that I was given last year, I'm going to be given a bunch more stuff like that this year.
Oh, and you'll have your pitcher plants.
It broke. In the storage. It was made from an actual stick outside, so the stick itself broke. But it's okay. I'm going to fix it.
You can do it.
Figure it out. I'm not worried about it.
You can make it better.
Yeah. I'm thinking more. I think maybe at least one more this year. Making another one.
Well, last two things I want
to
mention for my week. I have begun acupuncture treatments, and it is amazing. I highly recommend it. It's not as scary as people think.
What is it for?
I went for the tension that I hold in my shoulders, and I have some shoulder issues where they dislocate too easily. So I don't ever know how to get that tension out, and I'm too frightened to see a chiropractic or a masseuse, because sometimes when they get in there, like, my joints aren't as tight as they should be. That's the way I was born. And even though I think they would understand that, still sometimes, you know, there are horror stories. I'm sure there's horror stories about acupuncture as well. But I just don't want someone in there being like, oh, this needs adjusted, when it really doesn't, because that's how it's supposed to be for me.
Or like some jerk coming up next to you during a curtain call and grabs your arm and rips it out of socket while trying to bow.
But that never happened.
It did. I broke it.
No, you just elongated it a little bit.
Oh, it's no deal. You just ripped it out of socket and there was blood everywhere. But
it wasn't.
It was fine.
But that has been a bit of a life changer. So I love it. They did cupping on me recently. I still have the spots to prove it.
It looks like a squid or an octopi got a hold of them.
Yeah, and apparently they're gonna be on me for a while, and that's fine. It felt nice. I actually liked it. But and finally, the other thing I'm really excited about is sometime in the near future I am working on, as always, making our YouTube channel better, but I'm gonna launch my own. And
oh, he's leaving us.
No, I'm not
that?
Leaving
wow.
you guys.
Better than us, guys.
No, I just want my own YouTube channel to discuss a lot of things Scooby-Doo, because I've got one foot in that community as just like a casual fan, but like I want to be more involved with that community. And
I'm down for that, because I don't want my own YouTube channel, but I want someone I know to have a YouTube channel I can be on.
I'm offended.
Yes.
Shame.
No, you
wow.
guys can guest star and be on it as well.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
But that has also allowed me to learn to self-teach myself a lot more about video editing, which I am getting into and I really like.
We need to make our trailer soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Thomas, will you kick my kit pen back to me?
I could pick it up and hand it across the table to you.
But that's been my week. And, you know, honestly, I don't know when my YouTube channel will launch. I've already recorded one video for it. Where I try food things, because people kept asking me if I was ever going to do that again, and I did, and now I've got that video that needs editing and launching.
We need some kind of video soon.
I've got the drinks lined up. We need to do it.
Let's do it.
Pickle soda, butter soda, and one mystery one. That's
well,
my weekend nerd.
You try those, and me and Reggie will just try shots of different liquors.
We're all trying them. Ooh, we're trying a little, I guess, a little shot of them.
Yeah, we'll try. We're all going to try the sodas. It'll be good.
Oh, yeah. I'll try anything. You'll know that from the Bean Boozles.
Yes.
That was a good week, Shane.
Yes, thank you. And now we'll dive into what the episode's really about. Our favorite book series. I will start us off. At the top of my list, the Choose Your Own Adventure series.
The Goosebump ones? Or just any choose
kind of
your
in
own.
General. Like, when I was younger, I read all the small ones that were the white books with the red, or I guess the title was in, like, the red oval little box that there were, like, 30-some of.
Did you have the one about the Titanic?
I don't think I ever had that one. I don't think I ever remember. Like, I don't actually remember owning many of them. Those would be the books that I would check out at the library when the school made you go to check out books at the library.
Mm-hmm. When it was class library time.
Yeah. But I really did enjoy those, you know, probably just like everyone else. You get to that point where it's like, you walked out the door and you died. You're like, no, I didn't do that. I didn't do that.
No, I always get my finger on the page. So that way, if I didn't
it doesn't
like what
count.
It said, you could go back and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And recently, I was gifted 3 Scooby-Doo Choose Your Own Adventures, which I have looked at, but have not actually read, so.
Nice. I have a Choose Your Own Adventure gay erotic on Fire Island that involves mermen.
Oh.
It's fun. And one of my friends gave it to me because they know how much I love mermaids.
Very nice. Next on my list is a series that I recently got into last year or so, but it's the Badlands series by Morgan Bryce. It is the one that I read that is about a detective and a psychic. They are a couple and they solve murders down in Myrtle Beach, which is semi-close to where we are.
Is there a show, Badlands?
There is, but that's something completely different.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're not talking about shows, Corey. Quit interrupting.
How dare I?
But, you know, I like that book. I love it for so many reasons. And, you know, and I also love that it takes place somewhere I have been. So a lot of the local places that are name-dropped in that book, I'm like, I know where it is. I know. I could be there. And even some of the fictional ones, I feel like I could pinpoint out. Because one of the psychic's place is on, like, the main strip of Myrtle Beach, near a couple of other places.
Nice.
And so I'm like, next time I go down there when there's not a pandemic and it's not so dirty, because dirty Myrtle, I'll be able to, like, point and be like, that's where it would approximately be.
Fun.
Yes. Next on my list, The Chronicles of Vladimir Todd by Heather Brewer. It is a young adult series about a young vampire boy.
Another spooky trip.
Yes. And I just really like that one because it's perfectly in that genre that I like to write in. It's kind of almost like urban fantasy. He still has to go to school. He has friends. He's also a vampire. He's just coming, I don't say coming into his vampiric things because he's always been one, but I think the whole issue of feeding wasn't ever such an issue till he became a teenager, of course, because that's life.
Nice. Ew, mom, dad don't get it.
Well, I mean, his parents were kind of dead. So, he lived with someone else.
Guardians don't get it.
Yes, exactly. But it was a fun series, and I remember when it ended, because it chronicles him through high school. So when it ended, I really wanted, I wish there was, like, the Chronicles of Vladimir Todd college edition.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sabrina.
Yeah.
Yeah, she eventually went to college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It would have been great. It was I really love that series. If you like vampires and set in contemporary times, not in Victorian times, then I highly recommend it. Nice. Next up on my list is yet another spooky series, because I love spooky things, but the Asylum series by Madeline Rue. And that series is about... It starts with a guy, but he makes two friends when he goes to this summer program at a college that used to be a mental hospital, so it's totally haunted. There may or may not be a cult responsible for some of the hauntings and murders, and there are ghosts and possessions. And the one thing I love about the books is there are three in the series, and each book has real-life pictures, like the first one, because it was called Asylum. The first one has real-life pictures of, like, abandoned asylums, so it just sets the tone to be really creepy, because she uses them to be kind of some of the places within the novel.
That reminds me of Session 9, because they filmed that whole thing in the Danvers Mental Institute.
Yes.
That movie was crazy.
That's good. Like, I love real life settings like that they can use in fictional places. So that series especially, I would read at nighttime just for the spooky effect, because I loved it so much. And it was actually kind of, you know, it's still young adult, but it was more like college age, but it was still very spooky. And especially like when you flip the page and it's one of those abandoned asylums, that's what you kind of, it's in the corner of one eye while you're reading the other page. So that was really great.
That's pretty cool.
It's one of my favorites, and that was another one that I kind of wish they would have elongated, but I got a couple of novellas in the series, because the main series is three books that tell the story, and then there's, like, the Asylum novellas, and then there's a prequel. And this October, I'll be reading the prequel, finishing it out completely.
Nice! So is that your October book?
It is, yes, nice. That will be my October book.
How far in advance do you pick out your books? Just out of curiosity.
It depends. Like, with the Asylum series, I kind of made that, like, before I even started doing the Mother Book of Things, I read the first one in October, so when I got the second one, I really just liked reading it on a cold night, so I read that the next year, and then this last one, I made official, like, once I started the Book of Month series, I was like, well, I know October is going to be this, because it's spooky, and that's Halloween season, and that's what I want to do. So sometimes it's in advance, like, at the year, like, when I started this year, there were a few books I knew I wanted to read, and so I was like, well, I'll read this month, and that month. But other times I go through the months, and when a new one comes up, I decide then.
Nice. Well, I know you borrowed a couple of my books at whim.
Yes. I was wondering. Yes. For my comic book month, that's what I borrowed.
That almost sounded like you were wondering when you were going to get them back.
No, he's already given them all back. No.
I didn't know.
I read them in a month.
It's like, that's a very pointed question.
When my stuff coming back?
Yeah, that reminds me, Shane.
Hey, Reggie still has a DVD of mine, so just say
it's right there. I actually just found it the other day.
And finally, my favorite book, and it's one of the first ones that really got me back into reading, because with school reading, since it was required, I didn't like reading that much. Like, I would read it, and there were some that'd be like, oh, I liked that, but reading became something I did not do on my own. So the one that really got me back into it was The Chronicles of Nick by Sherilyn Kenyon / McQueen. She's McQueen now because she has gotten a divorce. And it was a nasty divorce. But...
Ooh, what was it called again?
The Chronicles of Nick.
Nick.
This series follows a young guy who lives in Louisiana with his mother. She's a single mother, and she had him at a very early age, so they're kind of eerily close in age. But he realizes that he is half demon. And then he just kind of gets immersed into this world because Sherilyn... McQueen now, it's just how I'm going to start referring to her because that's who she is. She has this whole other world that she set up that are adult books that I think is called the Dark Hunter series. And Nick eventually, I don't know if he becomes a true Dark Hunter because they don't know the Dark Hunters that much, but some of the Dark Hunters are in this series as well. And so therefore when he grows up, he's within their world as well. But there are demons and monsters, and I just love reading that kind of thing. Yes, and again, it's set in contemporary times. It isn't a period piece, which is what I write and stuff, of course, that holds my attention.
Nice. A lot of spooky stuff.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if it's spooky per se, but...
Well, spooky theme.
Yeah, kind of.
Supernatural, then?
Yeah, supernatural, very much so. Spooky. And finally, honorable mention, you know, I gotta go with Goosebumps. That's what I'm reading this month. I love it. I'm reading a lot of those older ones starting off with, so in my mind, all this is happening in the 90s, which I guess is kind of true. Not whipping out cell phones or anything.
How quick of a read is a Goosebumps book for you these days?
Provided nothing comes up in life, like the one I started on, I did 3 days.
3 days.
Mm-hmm. This one.
How much are you reading at a time, though?
What do you mean?
Well, like, if you were going to just sit down and read it in one go, how long would it take you?
Maybe because of my reading speed, it's not perfect yet, but I'm proud of how fast it is. Probably 2 hours.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, is like, the Goosebumps book should be like a couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I sit down continuously, just from start to finish, it really wouldn't take that long. So somewhere between an hour or two.
Nice.
But yeah, that's my list.
I like it.
Thank you.
Those are some very interesting series. I read a lot of series, so I was watching Reggie make notes, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to Google those later
yes.
and like, check out the first
one. Well, if you ever
want
to borrow any of them, I have them.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I still own physical books, not digital.
Well, as you can tell, we also own
yes.
a lot of physical books.
Very nice.
Tom, what is on your list?
Okay, so book series have always been a bit weird for me because I, being ADHD, sitting down and reading has always been hard for me. So even if I really enjoyed one book in a series, it's been hard for me to like catch on.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of as this episode has gone, I've remembered more and more of series that have helped me out through the years. But if there's a series I was into, it means a lot to me strongly because mm-hmm. it meant something that actually caught my attention consistently. So let's see. I will say that Harry Potter would have been in my top five, but has been moved to honorable mention because J.K. Rowling needs to take a seat and stop talking.
Harry Potter by Dumbledore, you mean?
Yeah. Harry Potter by Dumbledore.
Agreed.
Harry Potter written and read and starring Dumbledore.
Yes. So that's how I feel about that. I love that book. I loved Harry Potter and my mom read it to me before bed and we would read it together. And that was our thing. And it was like one of the first audiobooks I ever listened to and whoever did the audiobooks back then was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Harry Potter has been moved to honorable mention.
All right. Shelved.
Number five, the Franklin books.
Oh, the turtle!
Oh, I love
Franklin the turtle. And literally, I thought about this during this episode, but literally, I had a subscription to Franklin books growing up.
Did you?
Yes. Jealous. I would get one like once a month, I think. And there was an animated show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
And so, you know, that was one of the early like series I read a lot of. So I love Franklin. Need to go revisit that, but it was one of my favorite shows on, I think was it Nick Jr. that
it was
on?
Nick Jr., yep.
So, you know, being a kid from the mountains when you had a lot of snow days, you know,
with the morning
television wasn't always the best because it was like little kid television, but I was always super pumped when Franklin came on.
Yeah, Franklin came on around lunchtime.
And
Shane knows.
And had all of the had so many Franklin books, so I always loved that. Number four, the Star Wars comics, mostly the newest Marvel ones. I know that's not exactly a book series, but
it is.
it's not a book series. It's a graphic novel series, I guess.
Novels are books.
But really, just they got me through the pandemic. They were, you know, on Comixology. I like them because they expand the universe and make it a lot more soap opera-y and like over the top, like cartoonish villain evil. All of like Darth Vader's rivals within the Empire are shown through the. I loved the Darth Vader series basically, and you got to see some of like the rivals that Palpatine would bring in to try and like test Vader, and that introduced some pretty awesome characters. So. Between the pandemic and needing something to read and just loving Star Wars, I said earlier about Mace Windu, they go a lot into the way Mace Windu was, or why he was the way he was. Are you a Mace Windu fan, Corey?
Yes, absolutely. Honestly, I was initially drawn by the purple lightsaber, not gonna lie.
And Samuel Jackson.
Yes, absolutely. And then most recently, that episode, like we said, in Clone Wars was just so cute with Jar Jar.
But I love Mace Windu, and they give a lot, the comics give a lot more depth to his character, and make, you know, the movies kind of make him look bad once you look at the way Anakin ended up with in the Clone Wars also kind of made Mace Windu look kind of smug and, thoughts?
Yeah, sometimes not the portrayed the best, I think, and maybe a little bit unfair sometimes.
Thinks very highly of himself.
But there's some great, great Star Wars comics out there for any fan of the show. And I... sorry, there's a cat pooping outside.
because we're 12.
But yeah, those were huge for me. Number three, the Thomas the Tank Engine actual like stories written by Reverend Audrey, I think is his name.
Oh.
And I had an anthology of those and being ADHD sleeping, mm-hmm. especially when you're young and are required to go to bed before your brain's ready to shut down, was very stressful for me because then I would stress as to why I couldn't go to sleep. And so I had that anthology and I would always read it in my bed after I was supposed to be asleep when I was stressing out about being asleep. So, you know, when I was always, and it always coincided when I was like super stressed and everything. So, the original Thomas the Tank Engine stories are something to look into, even as an adult, you know, just life lessons. I loved trains and colors, so it was perfect for that. And just seeing, you know, it's based on all of the source material after that is based on those stories. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, those were a big part of my life. Number two was Captain Underpants.
I never read those, but I remember that series coming out at Book Fair.
I, you know, once again, was not into reading, had to capture my attention, and I think my mom was always stressed out about the fact that I wasn't into reading, and she was always looking for story or reading that would catch my attention, and she was always working hard on that. And that was like one of the first series I remember like reading and getting excited about and like wanting to like being like, I want these sequels now, Mom. and I remember you could see what the next book was at the end of each book.
They gave you like 3 pages of the next book too.
I think so. And they also had, flip motion in the books and stuff, but just everything about it. I actually haven't seen the movie, the animated movie.
I haven't either. And there's like a show I think on Netflix too now.
Huh. But yeah, just
it might be best not to.
I think the creator was very similar to me growing up, and I think you can tell by the kids who are the heroes of it that they're just well meaning but get in trouble. Because they're rambunctious and
because they're children.
So I think between that and just the fact that I never was really enjoying reading, giving me something like that, and that's the whole thing is like, you know, I've always been into graphic novels because they keep my attention,
mm-hmm.
And that's always made me kind of feel weird because they're not the same as you know, books, but
my mom would argue with you on that. She was a very big proponent for me in high school that reading comic books counted just as much as reading.
Yeah, and well, I mean, they do comics do a bit more of the heavy lifting for you when it comes to visualizing things, mm-hmm. Which is that. But you know, the whole, and it goes to animated shows too. It's, you know, it's the references, like the cross references that you get to pick up, the art, all of that stuff is just something I feel like gets undervalued. And then the number one thing on my list, because this was probably like the biggest book series I ever read, mm-hmm. cover to cover, but the Magic Treehouse series.
I knew that was going to be on here.
I love the Magic Treehouse. I love history. They had a Titanic book that I loved where they were on the Titanic trying to escape. Just everything about them was so cool to me. Like the idea that you could just have a treehouse that would take you to a place you pointed to in a book. And you had to...
The one where they went to Africa, I had that one. Because the cover of it was the treehouse and then there was a little kid with a lion walking behind him.
Magic Treehouse was the first time I ever read a book in one sitting, which was it was super exciting to me because, you know, like we've talked about with Accelerated Reader, I always just kind of felt like an you know what when it came to like having to read for school. So finishing a book in one sitting was super huge to me. It was the one about dinosaurs. It was the first one, actually. But yeah, all of those were just super cool to me, and I've always loved history. I need to reread them to see how accurate they are. Obviously, but yeah, I loved it.
And why did they choose to go on the Titanic? That just seems like a bad life.
I forgot why they had to do things, but Morgan Le Fay was like the Zordon for them, and was she like the librarian of Alexandria? I don't.
Morgan Le Fay.
There, she was like a mythic.
She was She was always a villain for Merlin and King Arthur.
I think that was her in this book, but I think she was just like a cosmic librarian, and was like, "You need to go resolve this."
Well, I think Rangers. There was always somebody else that was like messing with the timeline, and so they had to go and like make sure something happened right. I can't remember. I know I read the books too.
But I only read a few.
There was like an Apollo 11 one that was sweet, or one on the moon that was awesome. I need to just. I'm sure they're probably like 25 cents a piece now. I need to get some and reread all of them because they're even shorter than Goosebumps.
Shopping. Clicking on shopping. Okay, so it looks like you can get the original collection of the Magic Treehouse Mare blah, 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 5886, and it looks like it's like this book.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It looks like there's probably, I don't know, 50 books right there? 27 books.
So half.
What is that,
100?
That Merlin Missions. It was the Magic Treehouse Merlin Missions 27 book set.
Interesting.
I have never heard of this before. But sounds like a thing that I would have loved.
I'll have to make sure Morgan Le Fay wasn't the villain.
That would make a lot more sense, to be completely honest with you, because Morgan Le Fay is even in the DC Comics, Morgan Le Fay is the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to check it out and reread some of them. I'm sure they're at my parents' house.
We'll get an answer on another episode.
We'll look into that, though. So some honorable mentions really quick. Like I said, Harry Potter, Curious George. We had an anthology we did for my Thomas books of Curious George, and I used to read it at night when I couldn't sleep. So I love me some Curious George, and that picture of him passed out from the ether. My friend had a t-shirt of that growing up, and I loved it. The Power Rangers comics, another comic series that got me through the pandemic, and the main reason I love them is because it's allowed Trini to be more of a character.
So good.
Which stunk because they could never really ever revisit Trini with the show because of the actress passing away.
Yeah.
And I love her as a character in the comics.
So Merlin was the one who was sending them out on their missions.
Okay, Merlin.
It was Merlin. But Morgan Le Fay was one of the bad guys, I believe. Okay.
The World Book encyclopedias sets.
I used to love those.
Yeah, that you took up shelf space and some random college student would come sell you at your house. I loved World Books because I would just flip through them and like look at random pictures. Uh-huh. Had to include that.
No, Morgan was not a bad guy. She was also one who sent them on the missions. In this book, she was King Arthur's half-sister.
Oh.
Interesting. We'll have to check it out. And then last but not least, Frog and Toad.
Love Frog and Toad.
You don't know Frog and Toad?
Like the Willow and the Willow something series?
No, just Frog and Toad series.
Just the Frog and Toad? Uh-huh. Wasn't there a
Wind in Disney the Willows?
Wind in the Willows. Isn't that Frog and Toad?
I don't think so.
But Frog and Toad, people have implied that they were a couple.
A homosexual couple?
Yes.
Roommates?
They're special friends.
Were they roommates? I don't think they were roommates, were they?
Oh, no. That's
they
just
did
what
everything
a lot of
together.
Times as gay couples, we end up having to say in situations that
it
we were roommates.
The Wind and the Willows and Frog and Toad
are from the same universe?
I believe so.
Oh. Okay.
But yeah, I loved Frog and Toad.
Me too.
I think that was like second grade that we read a bunch of Frog and Toad, and I just love Frog and Toad.
Mm-hmm. I need to find, like, that series.
They were the best two friends that anyone could have.
Mm-hmm.
There were several books, and they were all, let's see, Mole Meets Rat, Toad, The Wind, Wood, and Badger, Toad and Motor Cars, Toad Escapes from Prison.
Okay.
What?
I don't think that's part of the series.
Isn't all of the book? Oh, wait, no, I'm looking
Was that erotic friend fiction?
Oh, wait,
I'm
sorry, never mind.
Wikipedia is leading us astray.
Those are all good books, though.
Yes, I love many of those.
As you can tell, they trend towards picture books.
That's okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
And Hunger Games, but I haven't read the books. Just seen the movies.
You haven't read the Hunger
Games? I'm working on it.
I'm going to flip this table.
Wow. Then you can't count them.
Working on it. I like the universe. And I have a cat named Katniss. My wife is me. Okay. Reggie? Or Corey.
Corey's turn. I'm going to let our special guest, the very handsome, with the complex multi-styling talents of Corey.
Oh, thank you. Well, book series are definitely a thing that I fall into sometimes too often. I'll even look for not a book series and accidentally buy a book that happens to be part of a series.
They almost all are now.
Yes, it's almost unavoidable. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to have a franchise. You can't just do a one-off. Either way, yeah, series are definitely a thing that I was super excited to talk about. So I guess we go from bottom to top. So I have to flip my thing around really fast. My quick honorable mentions are Harry Potter ? For the exact same reason that Tom already gave, and I won't continue on. The Red Rising trilogy. It's super exciting with different levels of, I guess, casts in a sci-fi setting. And they are denoted by colors, and the lowest cast being a red, who just does, like, menial labor, mining stuff, has a chance to infiltrate the golds that he takes on. And they are, like, because this is super, super futuristic, they are literally superhumans. And one of the... So it's both extremely advanced sci-fi, but medieval at the same time, because part of what these golds do as a coming of age situation is go to a camp retreat that are basically thrown back into medieval times, and they have to slog it out almost in the same vein as Hunger Games. They can die, that's totally fine, but only within those certain situations. But very exciting. Probably on the YA side for sure. But
nothing wrong with that.
Yes, but a really, really fun series. And the Foundation series by Isaac Asimov, which I think is, like, the start of sci-fi, period. He is like, the father of sci-fi. Yeah, I have all of my books sitting here, because I went by picking them off the shelf to figure out what I wanted. He's, like, the father of sci-fi. Foundation series is really interesting. It's a three-part trilogy, I guess is the correct word. But basically, he invents what's called psychohistory. And there's a empire that's 12,000 years long that he has forecasted is going to fall and fall into barbarism and whatnot, and makes predictions for an additional 30,000 years. And then it's just how that all falls through. But yeah, it's kind of regarded as the beginning of sci-fi books.
Nice.
Is there a show coming?
Yes, Apple TV Plus has a show coming out on, I think, September 24th is the first episode that I'm amazingly excited for. They really put a lot of money into their production, it seems like, and produced
well,
really
Apple,
good.
So.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got the money to do it.
Exactly.
And I am just salivating out over how good this show looks. The trailer is amazing.
Yay.
My number five is Lord of the Rings. You know, the traditional Frodo goes to take the one ring off to Mount Doom. But that has also a ton of spin-offs like Hobbit, Silmarillion, Unfinished Tales, Children of Húrin. There are, I mean, nameless other ones, whether it's R.R. Tolkien himself or his son Christopher, I think, is the one who ended up taking over for him after he passed. But it's all source material that literally came off of, you know, his father's desk that he just compiled and released into novels.
What were your thoughts on the movie interpretation?
I really enjoyed all of the movies, as long as I don't do a comparison in my head. Lord of the Rings, I thought, was at least pretty faithful. Hobbit is when it gets into a different situation. where on how on earth you got three movies out of that tiny little book, and there are characters that are inserted for fun, like Orlando Bloom's character is not in the Hobbit book whatsoever.
There's no Legolas in the Hobbit?
No, there's no Legolas in the Hobbit. And that's pure movie.
I mean, as far as getting more movies from books, we have like 11 Children of the Corn from Stephen King's short story, so.
That is true.
Sometimes the dollar is mightier than the pen, I guess. I wrote them in such a silly order. Number four is Hyperion series, and that is by Dan Simmons. So Hyperion is basically a sci-fi retelling of the Canterbury Tales.
Ooh.
Yes, it is really, really cool. I've read it probably like three times over. And of course, in the same vein, there are, I forget how many exact pilgrims. The basis of the story is that on this certain planet in this huge galactic empire, there are these structures known as the Time Tombs. Mm-hmm. And they, unlike all of the rest of existence, are traveling back in time instead of forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have already been open and they are empty. But so the question is, what point do those timelines intersect, and what happens when they originally opened and what was inside? So people take basically almost like religious pilgrimages there, and they are on the final pilgrimage to the Time Tombs to witness the opening, and they take their turns telling the tale of why they are accompanying this, which mm-hmm. then expands, of course, the entire their entire galaxy universe. I forget how large it spans, but it's, I mean, just absolutely fascinating and enthralling. It's one of those that you can't put down until you just are exhausted and have to go to sleep.
Very nice. I love when that happens.
My number three is the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson. He's absolutely my favorite author. That exists in a wider universe called the Cosmere, because all of Brandon Sanderson's works are in the same universe. They're just technically, I guess, different planets mm-hmm. in either the same solar system or just in the same galaxy. And Mistborn is interesting and unique for his works in that their magic system is based off of metals, and they can basically consume them or burn through them to activate it. Like some metal, if you have it on you, you can push metal away. Some you can pull. Some you can heat, you know, other various qualities. So although somebody can't technically fly, if there are bits of metal, you could almost Spider-Man it for, a better analogy, and push and pull yourself off of various, anchor points. But Mistborn, I think, is also a trilogy. And then there's a bunch of offshoot books, as people tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is the Stormlight Archive, which is another Brandon Sanderson Cosmere. And the basis of that is that there's some sort of eternal storm that circles a planet, and they capture, harness, and use what's called stormlight energy in like orbs, even to the point where their money is infused with stormlight, so it literally glows. And the old superpowers, the Knights Radiant, were able to harness that magical power and use it for superpowers. And then the main character is, you know, naturally the chosen one is reawakening his long dormant some history and able to harness that. And that's how the first book starts off. My number one has to be the Expanse series, and I couldn't actually figure that out until I walked in front of the bookshelf. And realized, like, out of all of the things, I have overwhelmingly all of those sitting right in front of me. And that is a sci-fi series, which is also a TV show, which is fantastic.
You know, see, I feel like I've heard of a show called that, so that makes sense.
It was on Sci-Fi Channel, and then now it's on Prime,
mm-hmm.
right?
It is one of those, which unfortunately didn't happen for Firefly. But after it got canceled, the fans were just so upset and did a huge campaign that Amazon ended up buying the show out and has continued it on.
So they're producing new episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Yeah, I saw the cover to the book and actually just looked it up, and it sounds very interesting. And anything with the word Leviathan in it has always been a magnet for me.
The Leviathan in this one, so to speak, is a thing called the protomolecule.
Oh.
And it's some sort of advanced substance that has been riding a comet that was hurled at our solar system for the last however many tens of thousands of years by an advanced civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, anything it touches, it takes over, reprograms, and is creating something which we do not know until much later in the series what its end goal is.
Sounds like Metroid Fusion. So I literally, just looking at the cover, put it on my Audible like wish list, so I might have to listen to this on the way to work.
It is a fantastic series. I really cannot recommend that one highly enough.
Well, those
Yay,
are all fun
that's a great
books.
List.
I liked it.
A lot of sci-fi. I think you're...
A lot of sci-fi, a little fantasy.
A lot of sci-fi.
But that's okay.
That's my brand.
That's your brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's very on brand for you. Well, I like that.
Yay. Reggie.
Me. I guess I'll finish this up today.
Yes.
Well, starting out my list is Franklin. And then I have Star Wars. Oh, wait. That's Thomas.
I know. All of yours are really books that I've written, just not published.
Yeah, they're all Shane originals. It's the Willow Hollow series.
Uh-huh.
So starting off my list, a lot of my books are going to be YA, because that's what I read. Reading is not my strong suit in any way, shape, or form. I have dyslexia. And so that really causes a lot of frustration for me when I'm reading, because I don't know what words are.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with reading, just
yes.
period.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with reading YA, because who wants to listen to some adult author describe a bedroom lamp for 5 pages?
Yeah, you know, some people can read that and enjoy it. I am not one of those.
No.
So, starting off my list is the Animorph series. Do you guys remember those?
I remember the cover of those at
the
book fair and thinking they were so cool.
Animorphs was basically an alien crash-landed and he bestowed these 5 teenagers with attitude. No, these teenagers
kind of,
with the ability to turn into animals in order to save the day. And so the books always focused on one of the specific teens that was always had a theme of, you know, whether it was this dude or the chick. I had all of them. Growing up, and they also had the flip motion in the corner where it would start out as the boy or the girl turning into whatever animal it was on the
yes.
So each book had like a different like themed animal. So like there was the girl who could turn into the little house cat, and the guy who turns into the hawk. But then there was always like stipulations, like you can't stay an animal longer than blah blah blah, or you'll be trapped as them. And so one of the kids ends up getting trapped as a bird.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm pretty sure his name was Tobias. I can't believe I'm remembering.
I feel like that sounds familiar because I read a few of those.
They also, Nickelodeon did a show.
Mm-hmm.
What, Thomas?
I loved all the in-between pictures on the cover of the book.
Where they're like half human, half bird person.
I think I've seen like memes. It was like when you wake up in the morning.
Yes. So the Animorphs were always, I had to put it on my list. That was not one of the first book series that I started reading as a kid, but it was definitely one of those series that helped encourage me to want to actually read because it engaged me. One of the actual early series that I did read at a very early age was the Bailey School Kids.
Oh, I remember them
book
too.
Series. They were always the books that were like, vampires don't wear pink polka dots, or Frankenstein doesn't teach, or
math
Frankenstein or doesn't plant petunias, mermaids don't coach track. And it basically was this town where these kids always had monsters for teachers or dentists or whatever. And then it always kind of ended up at the end that where it was always ambiguous. Like,
yeah,
they probably are.
Like the kids,
you know?
Would, I feel like, didn't the kids kind of like settle on they weren't, but then like with the last page be the teacher going
like,
home and then being like, I'm drinking blood.
Because like the teacher, their teacher was a vampire. That was the very first book. It was Vampires Don't Wear Purple Polka Dots or Pink Polka Dots or something like that. And and I'm pretty sure she is a vampire.
Yes.
Because you eventually go to like the castle that she lives in and you know, her uncle is Frankenstein or something like that. And I always liked it. I've always been into spooky, scary things, too, as a kid. And so that's something that really grabbed me and got me to read. So next on my list are the Hunger Games books, because I did read them
Love
all.
It.
These were books that actually I read within the last 10 years. That would probably be the most recent book series that I actually read, and I did not stop until I read all of them. They were that good. They grabbed me. The story grabbed me. Yes, it was a little YA romance-y with the Katniss and Peeta and Gale and all of that stuff, but whatever. The actual story, one of my favorite things in the world are, like, throw a bunch of people in a thing and make them fight.
Yeah.
So whether it's the Hunger Games or what it was, Hunger Games is a total ripoff of a Japanese book called Battle Royale.
Yeah, I was going to say, Battle Royale.
Which I have the English translated version of the Battle Royale book, and basically it's a kids in their country have gotten out of hand. And so a way of keeping them in check is every year one random fourth grade class is chosen, or maybe it's a fifth grade class, is chosen, taken to the taken to an island. Everybody's given a backpack. There's a different type of weapon in each backpack, and only one kid can leave. And they do the Hunger Games thing where it's like they start making the area smaller and smaller, so forcing them to come together to have to fight. It's not like the most uplifting and happy types of stories, but I do love those type of things. So when the Hunger Games came out, what actually got me to read the books was I saw a trailer for the movie. Nice. And then it was like, you know, coming soon, the Hunger Games movie based off of the best-selling books. And I was like, oh, that sounds super cool. I'd like to read that before I go and watch it. And I remember actually sitting in the theater finishing the second book, waiting for the movie to start. You remember that?
I do.
And now I cannot, literally cannot watch the Hunger Games movie without it starting and immediately start crying because the whole No Baby Rue.
Yeah.
I can't, oh my God, that's
see still, our sad episode, see, people.
Still stays with me. So Hunger Games had to be on my list. Number two, the Goosebumps series. Both the Choose Your Ending and the regular run. My very first Goosebump books was Tick Tock You're Dead, which was one of the Choose Your Own Ending books. And I don't, it's something I'll still forever and always remember that that was my first book. Of course, we've already talked about several times that my favorite book in the series is the Welcome to Horrorland one. But just the series in general, I had bed sheets and comforter and pillowcases. I had all of the books. I had all of the special books that, like, when you opened, it would scream because it had little thing in it. I had the trilogy books that weren't part of the core series, but it was like a book of anthology. That's not that's the word. The anthology where there was a bunch of different short stories in it. I had the lunchbox. I had the board games. I had the computer games. Like, you want to talk about being into something? I was into Goosebumps. And I think the reason why, and this was all before I was adopted, my birth father's second wife, who was my stepmother, I think the reason why she was so supportive of it was because I was reading.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was always one of those things that was like, if you read it, we will get it, but you have to read the book. And so I never, ever questioned that. Like, I would
sit down and read it.
Like, I could not wait to get the next one. And I want to say that I also had some kind of book club.
There was a subscription, and it came with a little bookcase.
Yes, and the boxes were like thin, like pizza boxes, and you opened it up, and there was the book was in it, and then there was like some kind, I want to say some Pogs were in it, because I had a bunch of Goosebump Pogs.
Maybe I was in like a scaled down version, because I probably was into Goosebumps after you.
It would have been the cheapest possible way of me getting the book series, so whatever that was. But yeah, I even remember having birthday cakes that were Goosebumps.
I just love the texture. I love touching the covers. I love the pictures on the covers. My brother had one with a kid in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that scared the crap out of me. Just looking at the cover scared me.
The Don't Be Afraid of Bees ones always bothered me, where it was the kid's head, but he had the bee body. That one always freaked me out. So Goosebumps, I had to put that on there. It was going to be my number one, but when I was in high school, I stumbled across, just randomly by my mother finding it and bringing it home to me, a Resident Evil book series. The author is S.D. Perry. But it was, the first book was the first game. And then there was a story, the second book was a story that wasn't a game, but it happened in between the first and second. And then the third book was the second game. And then again, there was a story that happened between them. So it was a combination of books based off of the video games and original stories.
Nice.
And I love that series. I've probably read that series, I don't even know, 20 times. I've had multiple copies of the series because I'll lend it out to people and then not get them back, or I'll lose them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I actually have a new copy of them all on the shelf right now. They even went back and did a book version of Zero, mm-hmm. which is my favorite Resident Evil character, is Rebecca Chambers. So anything that has her in it, I had to do. But yeah, that book series is one, again, it was probably it's a YA reading level, which, like you said, there's nothing wrong with that, but that definitely, I love that series. Honorable mentions for me, Harry Potter, obvious reasons. The video game series, The Witcher, it's based off of I don't want to say Russian, I want to say Polish short story that a college kid wrote and submitted to some kind of contest. I don't know, that word. And then from there, it became a book of short stories. And then from there, there were actual full-length novels in the series. Corey, after I played The Witcher, gifted me all of them and got them for me. So I have the whole Witcher series of books by, I can't even say that, Andrzej Sapkowski. That was a terrible butchering, and I apologize for that. But I had to put that one on here. The Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh my
I know
God,
it's an
yes.
anthology book, but there were multiples of them.
Yes,
it was
there
a
were.
Book
there
series.
Are three. Trilogy.
I have the all three of them in one, which coming into Halloween, that actually is one of our Halloween decorations. We have little things that you display calendars or books or paintings with. The paintings will go and that book gets put in one of those displays.
Yes.
Then also the last book series that I wanted to mention in my honorable mentions was, it's called Tales of the Slayer. It was a book series that was from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer universe, but it wasn't stories about Buffy. It was stories about other slayers from different time periods and how they either survived a monster that was a huge thing, or how they died and the next slayer was called. There are three different books of them. They also did a comic book series based off of those books. Really, really love that series, so had to mention that. But that's those are my books.
Yay!
Those are my books.
It's a good list.
It's a good
one to go out on. Before we go, do you guys have anyone you want to shout out real quick?
I do. Yes. As most of you guys know out there, we mention, and I say we, but I mention Willow Mountain Woodworking, who it's a custom furniture wood shop that is here local to where we are. The owner of that is Jimmy, and he's one of my and my family's very, very close friends. Jimmy had a terrible accident in the wood shop, and he ended up losing one of his fingers. He lost multiple fingers, but they were able to attach one of them, but he did lose one. So he has a GoFundMe on his page. It's on Facebook and Instagram. It's Willow Mountain Woodwork. So if anybody out there listening has some spare change and feel, you know, like they can share, don't put yourself in a bind, of course. Go out and look for him. He definitely is a good guy. And, you know, we want to try to help him out any way that we can.
Yes.
So I wanted to take a second and mention that.
Yay.
Get him back on his feet and his family, make sure that they can, you know, stay afloat.
Even just, I think, possibly advanced orders.
Yeah, if you guys need something made, you know, he's definitely going to try to get back in the shop.
I mean, you said you just got to be patient, so.
That's the problem with him right now, is that the uncertainty of what the future is. And so he's got to heal before he can start worrying about that. But and then our friend Jordy. Jordy Marie Games.
Yes.
Find her on Twitch. A big congratulations to her as well. She recently announced that she's pregnant with a little baby girl. So you can find her on Twitch. I think she's going to be changing some of her stuff about what she's been doing and what game she's playing. I do believe she's going to make an attempt to go back to Animal Crossing here soon. She said she wasn't quite ready for it when I watched their stream the other night, but she said she's getting there.
Good.
So I think some Animal Crossing action might be in the future. Really, that's it from me. Thomas?
Movies with Gabriel. Mm-hmm. Always doing some good takes on there. I think he's a little busy with school right now.
He recently got his very first own apartment with roommates, so we're all very, very proud of him.
Yes.
Growing up, our little friend.
And can I, my last shout out, book fairs?
Book fairs.
Yes.
Book fairs. I wish there were adult book fairs.
We need those.
I know we have libraries and bookstores, but like if someone was just like, we're gonna
come to your office.
We're gonna come to office and set up these cool racks of books that you get to look at and then come back and buy later.
Or just like the school offer a parent night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
I just want some pencils and erasers
and
that they had
cool
up front.
Bookmarks that had the little tassels hanging off of them.
Oh my
god, that's all I wanted was one of those bookmarks. I was very poor growing
Scholastic,
up.
Scholastic,
so
we want an adult night.
Please.
Give me an adult book.
You don't even have to change the books. We'll
no,
buy them.
No, I will still buy the Goosebumps and the... Oh my god, those cool box sets of them that you could get.
Yep.
Book fairs.
Well, I'll wrap us up with some shout-outs. Our friend Mason Blevins, who wrote 34 Degrees, as always, has shout that out. But he also has started a Twitch channel, if you guys are interested. He started with Minecraft, if that's your thing. His Twitch handle is... It's character, but there's a hyphen between, like, it's Karek and then Tar. So the hyphen's between T-A-R and the rest of the word.
Okay. Karek. Is that his gamer name?
I guess so.
Okay. Cool.
And as always, you guys can find us online, social media, Total Nerd List. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Also, Ko-fi, if that's your guys' thing.
You can buy us a cup of coffee if you feel inclined to.
Yes.
And
on YouTube as well.
Well, and Thomas has been playing Pokemon, and I'm playing Pokemon, so if you guys want to play some Pokemon, too, you guys want to battle.
Here
battle
we go.
One of us. Battle the Total Nerd List.
Okay, be careful. I'm a Master Ball rank in the Battle Tower for doubles.
Got my
still got ways to go on singles.
All right. Well, this was a good week.
It was.
We rambled on at the beginning, but the book series was good. I liked it.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
That's it.
Love you guys.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.